Welcome to Going Out of Your Mind on Vivid Life Radio. On each show, you'll be taken on a journey out of your mind and into your heart and inner wisdom by brilliant and inspiring guests who will deeply enrich your life. And here's your hosts, award-winning authors, meditation and mindfulness teachers, Ed and Deb Shapiro.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Going Out of Your Mind. I'm Deb Shapiro.
And I'm Ed Shapiro.
And we have a real treat for you today. This is going to be a wonderful show. And it's one of the, I mean, Ed actually admitted to me this morning. He said,
Don't tell.
Yeah, I have to tell you, Deb, I'm a groupie.
We're groupies. I never wanted to be called a groupie.
And we're groupies. We're both groupies because we play him a lot.
His music will put you where you really would love to be.
With one of our most wonderful people we know, singers certainly that we love most, Jai Utal from America, but totally a world music being. His eclectic East meets West sound has put his music at the forefront of the world fusion movement. Gosh, what a complicated sentence. Jai, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Deb and Ed. And listen, you know, that I think instead of calling yourselves groupies, the better term might be gopies.
Gopies is, I love it.
No, it's good. Gopies is Sanskrit, and the gopies were the people who just were so drawn to Krishna because they could not withstand the beauty of his flute playing. So they would gather around him and follow him wherever he went, and they were called gopis. And I think that's like probably the essential ancient pure source of what groupies are.
But I can't believe what you said. You're saying that Krishna would be in your band because he plays the flute, and you're the
no, me. Look, I'll be in Krishna's band. Krishna's not going to be in my band.
Oh, I love this. I've been wanting to talk to you forever. But first of all, I really want to know, Jai, you're this wonderful American who grew up in New York City. What's it that you managed to become such a extraordinarily authentic Eastern voice?
It's probably due to obsession and compulsion.
I heard that's the way to freedom.
Yeah, right. Well, I went, it's a combination of things. There was this, since I was really little, this sort of intense, not sort of, really intense spiritual calling. And it brought me to India when I was 19, where I met my guru, Neem Karoli Baba, who, you know, completely turned me inside and out. At the same time, I was drawn to Indian music, you know, also from a very young age. And I dropped out of college. This was right before I first went to India. No, maybe a year before I first went to India. I began studying Indian music with Ali Akbar Khan, who was really the master of masters. He died, I guess, about 5 years ago. And I studied with him for on and off for 40 years. I was like his worst student. but he couldn't get rid of me. And
what instrument he played?
Well, his main thing was an instrument called sarod. It's a 25-stringed Indian instrument, and I studied sarod for quite a long time with him. But after a while, I began to shift just to Indian singing because he taught that as well. And he was the elder brother, not blood brother, but you know, guru brother of Ravi Shankar. And
who is, of course, like the teacher to to George Harrison and the Beatles. Wouldn't be the Beatles without all that you're teaching and showing and serving now with 4,000 people. I saw him the other day. 4,000?
Yeah.
They jumped and shouted.
They jumped and shouted, didn't they?
Till 4 in the morning.
Yeah, it's so beautiful to see that, you know. Sometimes people ask me, well, you know, you must get so blissed out on stage. How do you keep the performance going or something like that? You know, questions like that. And really, you know, for me, I'm just sort of doing my, I'm just like sort of focusing and concentrating.
I'll be honest, you look like you're smoking a cigar. You look so relaxed.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm like completely relaxed, but, you know, I'm not concerned with blissing out or anything like that. I'm just concerned with, focusing, make my rhythm right, my singing right, my playing right, and trusting to this ancient practice as well as to spirit, as well as just to, you know, like the intuitive, gigantic, infinite heart, trusting in those guys to take care of the bliss.
But there was 4,000 people dancing. No one sat and listened to you. People were jumping, and it was like 4,000 people were coming to see you in particular, and of course Krishna Das. But it was a vast festival in the desert in the summer, 110 degrees. It was like everybody at night was just wearing nothing almost. And you were playing music.
It was more pleasant at night, though, wasn't it? Like daytime, it was just way too hot. But at night, when I was singing, and I think the following night when Krishna Das was singing, it wasn't so bad. It was comfortable
body heat
t-shirt weather.
So listen, what you're telling me is that this was a deeply spiritual experience, right? For you and for the people listening.
Well, Deb, you know, we have to. There's one thing about this group chanting that it's called kirtan that I find. It's really remarkable that, say, you can have 4,000 people there, and everybody's doing it together, and everybody is sort of sharing their energy with everybody else, and it becomes this very, very beautiful group experience. But within that group of experience, we're having, you know, 4,000 very different, very unique inner experiences. And I would say for many people there, it was and is, yes, is super deep spiritual journey, and for others it's like a really nice party that just so happens to be alcohol and drug free, at least mostly, and just a way to meet people that are on the path. So everyone's having kind of different level experiences, and I personally think that's amazing, and still under the umbrella, the banner of these mantras.
Okay.
You know, it's okay to say that, but as far as it's concerned, as far as all these people coming together and everything like that, the most important thing is for people to come hear you. So how do we find your website? How do people see or listen to music? Do you have a way of, can you give us that information now?
Of course, yeah, for a fee. No, only kidding. My website is jaiutal, that's jaiutal.com.
So I'm going to interrupt you here.
Right, but you also could find him on vividlife.me,
because
Vivid Life Radio.
We are going to go to a break, and what I want to do is tell you that when we come back, we're going to also be talking about how music creates bridges and unites hearts and cultures, because it's not just about chanting. It's about being able to reach into each other's hearts in a very important way.
And it also removes tension and fear and all the negative qualities, because the mind is put at ease by the sound of Jai Utel.
So we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Okay, see you in a minute.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me. Your story is begging to be told, but do you know where to start? Crystal Lee Quibell is dedicated to helping you achieve your book publishing dreams. Go to CrystalLeeQuibell.com. That's Crystal Lee Quibell, Quibell.com, and sign up for Crystal Lee's newsletter today. You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds, sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
So welcome back to Going Out of Your Mind. We're talking with the most wonderful musician, Jai Utal, and we've been talking about chanting and you know, concerts and bliss and all those wonderful things that happens when you hear, when you play, when you listen to the music. But more importantly is how, I want to pick his names, his brains, about how music, chanting, all of this can actually help us not only become better people, but also change the world. Jai, what do you think about changing the world?
And especially now.
Yeah.
I mean, look what's going on in the world. There's so much chaos. There's so much fear and hate, and you're needed. Producer Shane, the good work, all the good people, Oprah, we need to bring love to the world. So
yeah, it's,
share it with us.
It seems so, so pressing now. You know, the concept of world music, that term has gone out of fashion a little bit, but what it is it brings music from every part of the globe and blends them, you know, hopefully in a very sincere and very pure way, and to create a new global music. I've seen so often in my travels around the world that when someone from another culture hears me singing or playing, you know, music reminiscent of their culture, suddenly all the barriers and the distrust and the suspicion, immediately they're gone. They're just gone. And not just with myself, when I see it with other people. And immediately we fall into this place of being one family in a global culture. And music in particular has the power to unite hearts. And then I would say particularly music that's connected to the spiritual intention has a double power to connect hearts. So when we combine that with all this, you know, the flavors of every culture, you know, of course, it's not like necessarily taking food to impoverished Syrian refugees, but we can only do what we can do. And for me, I see that the music that I play and sing adds to the power, the flow of peace and harmony that we're trying to, and healing that we're trying to spread around the world.
Everyone has
to try in their own way, because if we don't, we're sunk.
How do you stand in front of thousands of people? I was there, thousands of people, and you're standing there so relaxed on stage with beautiful musicians, and everyone is feeling ecstasy. I mean, I've never seen so many happy people.
I feel, you know, incredibly honored and humbled to see the joy that seems to come from what I'm doing, because, you know, I don't know how it happens. I've always sort of considered myself a bit of, you know, a depressive kind of person. And then really, and then years ago I started getting letters from people about my CDs, you know, my CDs that I thought were really sad music, you know, and people were telling me how much joy it brought them and how much healing it brought them. And it took me a while. At first, it went right over my head, you know. I couldn't absorb that information at all. But gradually, I was able to, and I still don't understand exactly why, although
I know why. Ask Ram Dass. Ram Dass is in love with you. I mean, he's good music.
I'm going to see Ram really soon. But there's something about the potency of the ancient mantras, I think, really does something to people. And then the full-on, I mean, I've always felt that music is a complete cathartic experience. So whenever I play, it's like I throw myself into it full on. And that allows the listeners and the participants to throw themselves into it full on too. And when you just open up to your emotions, whatever they are, and just express them, it seems like it always seems to bring joy. And I'm so happy, I tell you, to know that I am part of that process for people. It just trips me out. I still sometimes can't quite believe it.
But you have a nice, tough way about it. The thing I like about you, it's not like, oh, Krishna, la, 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 la. You have this kind of tough, like the world is tough right now. Strong, yeah, yoga doesn't mean you just stand it on your toes and wearing purple and red. You have this strength and this beauty and the people there did. And that's the energy I think it's going to take to bring about a transformation of love rather than fear and hate.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I have a 10-year-old son, and I sometimes look at him and his friends, and I realize that, well, these are the guys that are going to really save the world. And he, when he listens to my kirtan, if I have a, you know, he loves my kirtans and my music, but he loves the hard edge songs, the ones with the powerful beats, the ones with the more intense emotion. And I see that, you know, it's okay to have now and then a very, very calm, sweet, gentle song. But that's, I agree with you. It's the ones that are filled with passion that have kind of like acknowledged the darkness and then try to break through to the light. Those
Beautiful.
Are the stronger ones, and I think those are
Beautiful.
The ones that the young people respond to more. And I always like really like people who sing very calm, beautiful music. But I realize that's just not me. I've been through so many different dark alleyways in my life, and it all comes out in my songs and my singing.
Lucky you.
So let me just say, because when I'm walking around Safeways, or when I used to be walking around Safeways at different times, I would be quietly chanting to myself.
Uh-huh.
Chanting a mantra, anything to keep myself from buying all the stuff that's on sale there. And
that's the way I am when I look at Amazon.com.
That's one of the ways that I began to really know the power of a mantra and being able to, it's not just singing a song. It's actually, tell us about the power of mantra and what that means to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, mantra, you know, the term mantra means a word that can transform the mind and transform the soul and the heart. And these are ancient Sanskrit words that I feel we're channeled to our plane from the divine plane by the ancient rishis and wise men and yogis and women. And it's a vast science, the science of mantra. In kirtan chanting, we actually choose the most simple mantras. And they're primarily names, the names of the deities. And I have found from my experience that these are not just normal words, that these words contain the complete energy of the deities. Now, I don't like expect or force or push people to agree with me on that, but I do ask people to sing with me and see what happens. And many, 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 many people have this similar experience, that there's something extremely transformational about these words, that they just contain so much like spiritual essence and divine essence.
As much as that's true, the your energy, I think it's the person also, if you're leading like you do, you have this fatherly love for everybody. I mean, you're very laid back. There's a warmth. You're doing this, but it's so relaxed and comfortable, and everybody's feeling comfortable. So as much as you're saying about those words, I agree, but the person who's saying them has everything to do with me, and when you do it, it's magic.
Thank you. I realize just now that you keep praising me, and I keep, like, kind of backing away from your praise, but I'm going to step forward and say thank you.
But I'm telling the truth.
For all the things
difference.
That you said.
I am telling the truth.
I just want to come back.
We play it morning, noon, and night.
Let me come back to chanting mantras, because I want to make this applicable to the people who are listening and who can't necessarily get to a concert or enjoy that. I mean, obviously, they can get your CDs and play it loud. But also just being able to use mantra in our daily life, being able to incorporate that into being able, therefore, transforming negativity or depression or sadness into a more uplifting state of mind. That, like me, you can just walk around Safeways chanting quietly to yourself and feeling so much better.
You see, the thing is, the mind is a perfect servant, but a terrible master. So from my training in India, I was there in 68. The most important thing is everything you said, but it's very healthy because the mind needs something to rest on. So when you give it a mantra and a sacred word, as Jai was saying, then it takes away the pressure that your whole chemistry, your whole body is going through. So then you're in a natural state of ease.
And we can sing the mantras, you know, in full voice, ecstatic kirtan gatherings. And likewise, just like what Deb was saying, I find myself, you know, just throughout my day, gently humming mantras to myself, or sometimes even silently. But particularly, you know, the mantra that I've been saying since I met my guru, is, you know, it's almost always going on in me. And I do some unorthodox things, like, which I won't necessarily recommend because I don't know if it's good, but I do it. Like yesterday, last night, I went to the movies with my wife, and whenever I go to the movies, I bring my japa mala, my beads, and I'm internally chanting my mantra while I'm watching the movie. Now, I don't know, you know, some schools of thought will say that's, like, really wrong, and I'll say to them that they're probably right, and I probably am really wrong.
I don't
but
think they're right and wrong.
Yeah, that's true. But nonetheless, I really enjoy it. So I have my beads that I love to use, and I take them with me into, like, weird situations, and I'm always saying my mantra. And I think that might be one of the reasons why there's a lot of power in the, you know, the performance aspect, because it's not so separate or different from the whole rest of my life. You know, it's a little bit more explosive. It's a little bit more outgoing, but the practice is happening pretty much all the time for me.
You know, the beauty of it, which is really interesting, it's almost like a cleansing of the mind.
So
we take care of our body, this cleanses the mind, that's what the mantra
let's
does.
Let's have an example, because for people who might be listening who don't really know an awful lot about this, they may need just a little guidance right now. So can you give us an example, Jai?
Yeah, sure. One very simple mantra is Sita Ram. Now, Sita is the name of the goddess, and Ram is one of the names of God. So sometimes I'll just be walking along, and I'll be going, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Jai Sita Ram. Jai means victory. Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Jai Sita Ram. You know, I might be making my breakfast. Sitaram, 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 Jai Sitaram. So, or even sometimes just Sitaram, 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 you know, while I'm making my bed or just getting in the car and stuff like that.
That was exactly what we needed.
No, that's really good, and I notice what I do that also, and I notice it more when my very busy, you can just repeat those words so that the mind doesn't get caught up in the whole drama of, oh my God, she did it, why did she do it, I'm upset. You say, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, and then the mind will not have to buy into the boring stuff that's coming in.
Yeah, I mean, it's a gradual process. It's not like immediately say the mantra and then, you know, all your cares are gone. But it's a practice that we cultivate, and I don't even know that we want all of our cares to be gone, but we do want to not be lost in them.
Oh, beautifully put.
And that helps. Likewise, you know, when some people that I know, and I'm sure that you know as well, they won't read the newspaper. They won't. They don't want to know what's going on in the world. They just want their bubble of mantra and bliss. And you know, it's not for me to tell another person how to live. But I will say for my own life, I want to know what's going on. I really want to feel and know what's going on in the world, as hard as that is, so that I can know that as I'm doing my practice, this energy that's getting generated has a reason to be generated that isn't only selfish.
That's beautiful. And we all, Deb's going to wrap up, but I just want to say, Jai Uttal, say your website once again for our listeners, please.
Okay, it's J-A-I, that's Jai, and then U-T-T-A-L, which is my last name, .com. I also post a lot of like live video stuff on my Facebook page, which is just Jai Utal. And so people might be interested in checking that out. There's a new platform I'm going to get into called Patreon, Patreon.com. And I'm not there yet, but it's going to be a beautiful way for fans to stay really closely connected to the artists that they love. So
if you want to uplift your life, you got to listen to Jai. I'm sorry I cut in, but I just really want to say he's done wonders for me, and we love him.
So thank you, Jai. More time next time, and all of you who are listening, just go out and get his music, for goodness sake. Stop worrying about it. Just do it.
And it's edandebshapiro.com. So edandebshapiro.com. We have some great people coming in the next few months.
And you can find it all at vividlife.me. Thank you, thank you.
And thanks, our producer, Shane Travis.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
We love you. Thank you.
I love you too. Bye-bye.
We all need to go out of our mind at least once a day. By going out of your mind, you will quickly come to your senses. So thanks for going out of your mind with Ed and Deb. Be sure to join them next time. Go to vividlife.me for their up-and-coming shows and to listen to their archives on demand.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.